We are in week 7 of a 10-week series from the book of Job. We are looking for life lessons, looking for what God would say to me and say to you about this incredible man with an incredible faith who had an incredible journey and suffered incredible things that certainly are far beyond what most of us can possibly imagine. I want to read from Job chapter 8 some verses and then look at the three times that one particular man in the book of Job spoke to Job. Last week we focused on a man that probably most of us have never heard of, or we've heard the name when we've read the Bible, that's about it, a man named Eliphaz. And we looked at his interaction with Job. And today we're going to look into the second man's world. His name is Bildad. I doubt that most of you have ever heard a sermon on Bildad. But today we're going to focus on a man named Bildad. Turn to Job chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. I'm just reading a selective sample of the words of Bildad. So Job chapter 8, we will start there and move on from there. Then Bildad the Shuhite replied, "How long will you say such things? Your words are a blustering wind. Does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? When your children sinned against him, he gave them over to the penalty of their sin. But if you will look to God and plead with the Almighty, if you are pure and upright, even now he will rouse himself on your behalf and restore you to your rightful place. Your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be. Ask the former generations and find out what the fathers learned. For we were born only yesterday and know nothing, and our days on earth are but a shadow. Will they not instruct you and tell you? Will they not bring forth words from their understanding?" Job had an incredible, amazing faith. Even with everything in his life crumbling around him, he stands out as someone that has something to teach us. I believe every person in the Bible has something to teach us. Sometimes it's from their strength, or that God has incredibly done something great in their lives, and sometimes it's from failure. But God has something to say to us from every scripture in the Bible. I believe that. Job, of all the things he had to endure, this last suffering was to listen to the attacks of his character and his integrity by his three friends. I've talked about over the last few weeks all the ways that Job suffered and the depth of his pain, and it's just beyond anything I can hardly imagine or describe. But imagine all that Job has gone to up until the time that these three friends begin to speak. And now we're reading about first Eliphaz and now Bildad, and next week a man named Zophar and Elihu, and what they have to say to him and how cutting their words are. I know I said last week that I don't believe that these men started out with the intention of probably what happened. I don't believe that they started out and tried their best to cut Job apart, but because of the weakness in their character and a flaw in their thinking and their mistaken theology, they went from bad to worse. Last week we looked at Eliphaz and his words and how he had become judgmental, and Eliphaz almost seems like he's become bitter. And he certainly has become personal and hostile to Job, and Job had to put up with that. We read that Eliphaz had a self-righteous spirit, as do all those that are a part of this, and Eliphaz just keeps zinging and zinging at Job. There's this marathon of accusations that is going on. And what began as the accuser of the brother Satan trying to trap God and prove that Job had sin in his life and could not have faith in God is now turned into these three comforters who have become the spokesman of Satan. And they have taken up this role that Satan has as accuser. And our subject this morning adds to the marathon. Actually, these three friends of Job kind of play round robin with their verbal attacks of Job. We're taking them one person at a time instead of what each said at each time. But all three of them are picking up these ideas and expressing them, things that they don't understand, and they become verbal attacks to Job. Eliphaz, and then today, Bildad. Who was Bildad? What do we know about this man? Bildad probably was a direct descendant, not far, and a descendant of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 25, there's a list of six sons of Abraham. After Sarah died, he married Keturah. And after Sarah died, he married Keturah, and six sons are listed of Abraham. One of them was a man named Shua, and his descendants are called the Shuites. And so it's likely that this man, Bildad, was a descendant of Abraham and Keturah, and within four or five generations, although we don't know for sure, but that's what it seems to look like. We talked last week a little bit about Eliphaz and what evidence there is in the Bible of him actually being the great-grandson of Abraham through Esau. So at least the first two of these people were descendants of Abraham probably. Bildad represented what one commentator calls the view of the patriarchal wisdom and the belief that there was this passing on in the generations of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, a deep faith in God and a deep trust in God. But over time, some of those beliefs about God had gotten off track. And in the book of Job, one of them comes out and becomes apparent in the words of each of these men. We know that Bildad was the last person to speak before the silence again of the three. You had Eliphaz, and then Bildad, and then Zophar. And then you had Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Then you have Eliphaz and Bildad. Bildad's the last one to speak. Zophar only speaks twice. And so what we read about Bildad is the last thing said to Job as far as the words of these men. All of these three men were outspoken. They were opinionated. They were self-assured. And it got worse as time went on. It's as if Bildad believes that he has all the answers for Job. And we know that when we believe we have all the answers for someone else, it's probably something that's not quite right. And Bildad was in that category. Even if Bildad was right, and some of the things that Bildad said makes perfect sense. I think if we would read it and we'd say, well, that sounds like that makes sense. And yeah, there's got to be valid truth in that. Even if what he said was right, we know that his words were not spoken in love. There's a great principle that we have from God about speaking the truth in love. And sometimes we can be right about something, but the attitude of our heart or the preparation of our heart means that when we speak the truth, it does more damage than good because it comes from a heart that is not of love. And Bildad's words, if any of them are worthy, and I think most people, when you read it, he did say some things that made sense. But what he said that was so painful and cutting shows that this man had an attitude and a spirit. And it's just a reminder to us to always be careful about our hearts when we talk about other people's hurts, other people's problems, other people that are grieving or suffering. We may think we understand what and why they're in the place that they are, but honestly, that's not always true. And this story reminds us of that. He believed that he had all the answers, and as we often do. And so the intensity of Bildad's confidence, not just confidence, but overconfidence, then began to bring him down in his attempt to help Job and to have words that would help him. I don't think that Bildad started out with these intentions, but they allowed a weakness within Bildad, within his character, within his thinking, to become the trait for which Bildad will always be remembered by those that have studied Bildad's words. I mean, whatever his motive was, whatever the good he did, he's remembered for some of these sharp things that are so off base and hard and difficult even to kind of get our hands around. As happens so many times, sometimes our ego can get in the way. Sometimes our own thought that we have the answers and we know what's right can get in the way of God's truth and get in the way of something. I realize as I've read all these men and all their arguments that no time anywhere did ever the question come up in their thinking, in their words, maybe God does have a plan for this. Maybe God is testing Job. That's exactly what was being done. Job was being tested, but nowhere do these three wise men ever seem to suggest the possibility they were off. Though their motivation might have been right, the way that they came across and the words that they spoke to Job were so hurting and cutting, and they missed completely. On chapter 8, verse 1, Bildad speaks for the first time, and right away you get this sense of Bildad's heart and his attitude as he starts. He says, "How long will you say such things? Your words are a blustering wind." What a nice welcome to Job. What a nice thing for him to start out and say to his buddy Job, "Your words are a blustering wind." I mean, that's how Bildad starts. And he starts on that foot. He starts on that attitude. And so Bildad never gets off of it. He has this preconceived notion based on what he has seen and he's heard. And so he just says, "Job, you're a windbag." And it goes on from there. Those words he speaks that Job has said are what we looked at a couple of weeks ago, where Job pours out his anguish of his heart and says, "I don't know why this is happening to me. And I ask God, have I sinned?" And he examines himself and he says, "I can't find that. I don't know what it is that I've done that's offended God so much." And we talked about Job's misery. Now Job finally comes to the place and says, "Well, if I fail God so much, there's no reason to live. God, would you take my life?" And in his depression, in his wrestling with why God would do that, I mean, these men are saying it's because you've sinned, because you've sinned, because you've sinned. And Job says, I don't understand it. I don't know that I have. I don't know where I have. Well, Job has tried to say to these three men, "Show me if I've had sin. Tell me if my words have not been right." And instead of them really being able to say, "Job, I really don't know." Instead, they make up things and they surmise things. And so those darts are just being constantly hurled at the heart of a man that is grieving terribly. And God will allow it to go on a little bit more. Bildad would have been so much better off if he could have listened more than he spoke. If Bildad somehow could have been in that place to listen instead of speak. And Bildad could have been in that place where he was able to listen to even the voice of God to speak to him. I feel like if Bildad could have done that, God could have shown Bildad. God could have given something to Bildad that he could have. But instead, Bildad just gets frustrated. He gets irritated. He gets redder in the face. Every time Job says something, his friends respond and they heap it on him. And Job just kind of, I don't know what to say here. You guys are merciless and I haven't done this. And so they just attack more. Bildad rebukes Job and moves on even to harsher judgment. Job defended himself the first time. And boy, when Bildad had a chance to come back the second time, boy, just ripped into him. And the second time Bildad speaks in chapter 18, verse 1, "Then Bildad the Shuhite replied, 'When will you end these speeches? Be sensible and then we can talk.'" And that's the attitude of Bildad. "If you had shut up, I could tell you what to think, Job." That's really what it was. "Job, if you had quit trying to think about this and just listen to me and to us, we'll straighten you out." Imagine what that did to Job. His sense of trying, his sense of grappling with why this is happening. These words he speaks are words that Job has been trying to make sense of suffering, but he just wipes them out. "Your speeches are stupid, Job." as Bildad speaks again, he just cuts deeper into Job. Bildad doesn't believe Job has the right to defend himself. Bildad doesn't believe that Job has a right to speak up and say, no, I don't know what I've done to offend God. He doesn't believe that Job has a right to wrestle with that. So he wants to cut Job off from that. You just go straight to it and say, I'm an evil person and I deserve this. When it really wasn't true. It just wasn't true. He doesn't believe that Job has a right to defend himself, to speak his heart. He doesn't have a right to deny that he sinned. And so more and more Bildad spills out, and it really becomes less and less about Job and more about Bildad. Less and less really reality about what has happened in Job's life, and more about Bildad's heart and his thoughts and the way that he thinks and believes. He just believes, Job, you don't have a right to open your mouth. Look what God's done to you. You just keep your mouth shut. But Job does defend himself. And part of what Job does in the many chapters, and in this 10-week series, we're just looking at a few here and there as we go through there. But Job does try to defend himself. I mean, Job looks at his life and he examines it and he says, I've tried to look and see, and I don't know what it is that I have done that has offended God. By now, Job believes, it seems, that God believes that he's done wrong. He doesn't know why, and he doesn't know what, and he kind of finally almost comes to the place of throwing up his hands and saying, I don't know and I can't know. I want to know. God, where are you? Why aren't you speaking to me? God, you have been so close to me for all these years, God, and I've done my best to serve you. God, where are you now? Who knows why sometimes we go through valleys spiritually? Sometimes because of the pressure and the pain in our lives and the hurts that happen and that Satan uses to rattle us as much as he can about our faith in God. Satan will use every circumstance in your life in order to try to draw you away from believing that God is faithful and that God will do what is right and God is God. Job does defend himself. He sees no sin, and he proclaims his innocence. He says, I don't know what I've done. He wavers on this later, and as he then, after the three men stop, and then we have a long passage of Job wrestling, and, well, apparently I've sinned. I'm sorry, God, and I've done wrong. When he hadn't, you know, it played with his mind and his heart. You know, we think of Job as an incredible, and he's incredible. That doesn't mean that, man, he's perfect. He doesn't know why. But I'll tell you one thing about Job, and we find it three times before, and then as God speaks at the end, Job holds on to his integrity. He had something deep inside that God saw and God honored. And God said, that man has not sinned in his words. He's not sinned with what he has accused God of. He holds on to his integrity. But boy, Job was hurting deeply. He uses some words about his friends that they're not near as bad as what his friends said about him, but some of them are tough. He calls them annoying comforters, scorners, mockers, and other descriptions. I mean, I said it in a nice tone of voice, but the way that Job says it isn't that nice. And that drives Bildad and others to attack even more. When Job defends himself, then they come back and they just keep at it, as if they must prove that Job is sinful. That seems like that's the bottom line to them. We're going to prove to you, Job, that you have done wrong and God has punished you because you're evil. See, God would never allow this for a person that's good. He would just never would. We know God. We know how God works. He would never allow that, Job. So obviously, you are a sinful man. Well, see, that's kind of what Satan tried to do with God. He tried to prove God wrong, that it wasn't possible for an infinite God to have a relationship with man because of man's sin. There's no way that man can respond in faith based on the character of God that man could respond in faith. The only way that man would do what's right, Satan said, is if God blessed him and gave him all these things. But God, if you take that away, I can promise you, Job would never serve you. He'll give up that integrity, and Job didn't. This unique story in the Bible is this story of how it's possible for Job and you and I to have faith in God. Faith is always a choice. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But we can make the choice to believe in every circumstance and hold on to our faith in God no matter what happens. Job was able to do that, and that's a great story. There are three things specifically that Bildad said that I want to quickly highlight. How painful they must have added to Job's misery. The first one is just unspeakable, almost indescribably painful as I see it. The first one is this. Bildad says Job's children died because they were evil. Whew. Those of us that are parents would know how much that would hurt. If it was true, it would hurt. If it wasn't true, it would hurt. Can you imagine how cruel those words had to be for Job's suffering? I kind of think this has got to be the lowest point for Job. I don't know. Maybe that's just, you know, my speculation. I mean, if it was true, it would be so painful. That's what Satan would say to us, you know. You messed up, that's why they are suffering, or it's because of their sin, that's why. You know, Satan, if he can do that, will find a relationship in your life and he'll try to condemn you because of where they're at spiritually or decisions, and that is from Satan. You imagine the depth of the pain that had to cause Job. Can you imagine the devastating blow those words would be to any parent? He lost 10 children. And any grieving parent who's lost one child, and many of you have been in that place, or in that place in your life, you recognize how evil Satan is and how low he will go to destroy your faith if you don't stand up to it. Stand up to it. Don't let Satan do that to you. This seems to me to be about the lowest place. And above that, you remember how conscientious Job was. Remember way back in the beginning of the story, this man would make a sacrifice and pray if any of his children had done anything wrong. He would say, God, would you forgive him? I mean, Job knew how important that was. I'm sorry, Satan knew how important that was to Job. He went for his throat. I mean, he went, I believe, at this moment to destroy Job. Your children died because they were evil. That is from Satan. I don't know how Job kept his sanity. I don't know how he kept from reacting. I don't know how he kept from getting up and strangling Bildad. You know? A better man than I am. But I know that God gave him what he needed. And God was enough. We said 2 weeks ago, there is no sin, there is no temptation that God will not provide a way of escape. And Job made it through this low point in the attack. So it also makes me think, how do we do when we are falsely accused, or those around us are attacked, our family maybe? How do we do? Remember Job. Remember how God helped him to hang in there. Bildad also called Job a hypocrite. I won't take a lot of time here, but you know, there's Bildad. You have hidden sins and you're going to pay. Job knew better, but it had to be bitter to put up with. And then thirdly, Bildad and all of them take Job's claim of integrity personally, and it becomes very personal. It becomes very personal that they have got to convince Job that his sin is why he's lost all the blessings. Very simply, Bildad says, why are we regarded as cattle and considered stupid in your sight? That's what Bildad says to him, to Job. What do you think we are here? I mean, we're the ones that have the wisdom. We're the ones that have the answers. Why are you treating us like we're stupid? You're the one. You notice again, we regarded. Why are we regarded? The focus is on Bildad and his perspective, not so much on where Job is in his suffering at all. I said before that some of what Bildad has said makes some sense, but it's always dangerous to mix truth and a lie. Sometimes that can be more damage than if you just, you know, you don't even try to be honest. And think of how Job, being a conscientious man, would have tried to deal with that, you know, wanting to believe that these guys knew something and coming to believe that, no, they did not at all. You might wonder, could Bildad ever recover from this? As I come to the conclusion this morning, this foolish time in Bildad's life. And the answer is, and I want us to be sure that we hear this, the answer to that is yes. Job forgave Bildad. And God corrected Bildad. Grace and mercy and restoration were extended to this man whose words were cutting and painful and deep. And that just reminds me what a great God we serve. How full of grace and mercy. As hard as I am on Bildad, and I feel about some of the things that Bildad said, just to realize how much God loved Bildad. And so in the end, and that's going to be week 10, and that's just a great part of the story. We'll find out that even Bildad and the dumb, ending up being cruel things that he said, that God loved him and cared about him, and that God loves us when we say things dumb, when we do things dumb, when we mess up, when we get it wrong, when we're judgmental in other people's lives, and that's not where God wants us to be. God loves us, and he wants to help us. Well, how is Job, as we conclude this part of the story? He certainly is rattled. He's frazzled. He's shaken. He's trying to hold on. And God gave him what he needed to hold on, but it had to be hard. I think of the words to describe Job's words, and we're going to spend the 9th week looking at Job's final words, which was a lot of words, but where he was at when he was at the bottom. He was angry, he was hurt, he was attacked. He was shocked by his friends. He became defensive, and he said things later that, you know, to a man that has no problems, you know, you'd think he shouldn't say that, but he had probably a right to say everything he did. He became biting. He became sarcastic about his friends, but he held on to something that was very important, and God saw him through and helped him. He's very near the bottom, but he will hold on. And God, who we wonder, why did God allow him to go through this? Boy, we have a lot of questions about why. We realize that God was there, and he is there, and he will be there with Job. And he's going to bring Job through this. Man, that's a lesson for us all. No matter how painful we might feel someday, or we go through something that is just so hard, God is there. We might not know why. We might not hear God's voice for a while, but he's there. This unique story. And I was thinking about Bildad and Job and thinking, why would this even be in the Bible? I was thinking, I think the reason the story of Bildad's in the Bible is for me and you, so we can learn something about faith, about holding on, and about trusting God when things seem dark. God gave Job the ability to do that. I'm thankful for that example and that story. Would you stand? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the incredible book of Job, the incredible deep things to wrestle with and think about. God, apply them to our hearts. On that day that there's some lesson from something in this book, God, that you'd help us to remember, our faith would be deeper and stronger and rooted in you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. God bless.